Right. Hi, I'm Liz O. I'm a compulsive eater, a recovered compulsive eater, and food addict. It's really nice to be here. I think for me, it's helpful when I share, number one, to recognize that I'm just sharing my own experience, but it's whatever God is bringing to mind for me in terms of my experience that I feel like is supposed to be shared this evening. It's just, I guess what else is coming for me is just how special of a place it is to be in an OA group, just in these rooms, get to really share honestly about what's going on in my life. And with people that get it, like they get that food was killing me, that food was taking up so much of my space in my head that I really couldn't be present for the people around me. And physically, I mean, I weighed 70 pounds more than I do now. And I've got young kids, and I could not really move around with them the way that I can now that I'm in a more healthy body weight. But I like to share literature too. So this Seeking the Spiritual Path book is a really, really good one. And there's this reading that my home group, which is a Saturday morning meeting based out of Baltimore, and it's hybrid, which is working really well for us. We have read this the last 2 weeks when we've had a fifth Saturday of the month. We read on the Seeking the Spiritual Path, and this reading has been read 2 times in a row. And it just came to me this evening, and I was like, you know what? That's what I'm going to read. So it's page 77, and the title of the reading is "Give It Time." Again, from Seeking the Spiritual Path. It's important to me to take the time to sit back and open myself to what would best link me with my higher power. Sometimes it's a prayer book reading. Sometimes I just sit and let images emerge. Other times a word or phrase pops up for me to explore in my journal. Sometimes I need to read a step or tradition, but I have to give it time. When I first started scheduling time for morning prayer and meditation, I was amazed at the serenity I received. I began to realize that this HP had real power in my life. This morning meditation helped me shed the compulsive plans and worries that arose as I anticipated my day. Over time, I was better able to let God's guidance and power flow through me throughout the whole day. It was like having a strategy and pep talk from a supportive coach who believed in me. I must admit, though, that I also have days when it's almost impossible just to sit and be open. My instinct tells me to flee, but I know better things await me if I stay. The discipline of regular prayer and meditation is vital for my daily health. I've learned techniques from many sources. One author saw herself as a simple wooden flute, hollowed out and full of holes. By emptying herself and becoming receptive to the breath of God, she would sing God's song throughout her day. I gain purpose and direction from the analogy of serving as an instrument of God's song. Since I began my recovery, I see that the challenge is to let go of control. When I want to be in charge or feel I have to be, my throat tightens up and the whole song is forced and choppy. This is why I need to surrender control to my higher power every day. I want my prayer and meditation to be a time to invite God's melody to sing through me. That's from Nebraska, USA. Again, give it time on page 77. So, yeah, that's a really beautiful story. So, let me just share that I'm like in that space now, but how did I get there to being in that space of really feeling like God is channeling through me, that the gunk is cleared out, that I Not that I'm perfect, but that I really can channel my higher power. So first, like, what was it like? I would say probably around 10, I have my first memories of like sneaking food. And there was some shame around food probably a little bit earlier, like my first communion. I was raised Catholic, so probably around 7, I have some memories of being at my like party and having some like obsession about desserts. So probably started somewhere when I was in elementary school. But where it really took off running was in high school. And I used to spend the night at a friend's house and like take food out of their cabinets. I was really grateful to have that space too. It was a safe space for me, but the food, I just was so into the food. And then in college, stealing food from roommates, which continued after college as well, you know, using up all of my meal points because I was going to the convenience store on campus. Not going out and drinking, which I thought was going to be part of my story, but it was not. I was just at home stealing food from my roommates and going to the convenience store on the Friday and Saturday nights when everybody else at my college was going out and having fun. And then where it really got very intense, and I will say during college, I did go to an OA meeting. I had a therapist because my parents got divorced when I was in my teenage years, early preteen and teenage years, they sent me to a therapist. And this therapist was very familiar with the 12-step world. And she had me doing things like journaling my food and how was I feeling? Like, was I hungry and what feelings were coming up? But I never really stuck to that. I'm never very good at like tracking my food in that kind of way. But she also had suggested OA. And so I think my sophomore year of college, I decided to try OA out. And I actually did get a sponsor, but I don't remember doing anything with step work with her. I do remember her telling me like going into the phone booth because she was on the swim team and like calling in her food. And I was just like, had that image. I mean, it was back before we really all had cell phones. I mean, we did, but she had gone to college a little bit before me. And it was just funny to me to think about that. And I can't imagine now. I mean, I do commit my food every day to my sponsor or text it if I don't know, the night before or the morning of. I text it as I'm eating it. That's just something that has worked for me. But I'm like, I don't know. I was 19 and that just seemed like such a crazy thought to me. But today it gives me a lot of freedom, actually. So I see why she did that, even when she was traveling with her swim team. So I didn't really stay in OA. I probably did it for about a semester, maybe the school year. But when I got back to Baltimore in the summer, I stopped going and then I never went back after that until I started teaching. So I was a teacher and I had the most tremendous anxiety before going into the classroom every day. It was really hard for me. And in the evening, I would stop at the convenience store on the way home and get all this food that was going to quote like power me through the night because of course I had to like recreate my whole routine for my kids overnight and somehow tomorrow I was going to show up and be a completely different person and have it all under control because I had spent the night planning and what it talks about in the story, trying to control it all, trying to force my way. That did not go very well. And I did not last very long as a teacher, but that did bring me into OA, that anxiety feeling like I was on the floor, like I can't do it. So that was probably about 2011, I want to say. And I did not get abstinent, anything like long-term abstinence until 2015. So 4 years of struggling in the rooms of OA. And I actually got abstinent because I was working a really structured, section of OA How, and I had a lot of support, really used the tools and leaned on the tools tremendously. I had, daily contact with my sponsor, was doing a daily writing and daily reading, calling these three people every day. I really developed like a God squad, which was helpful for me as well. But I also was kind of like, felt like my ego felt like, oh, look at Liz. Like she's doing all this stuff. She's got all these little check marks. Give her a gold star. She's doing so well. She's really working a solid OA program. Like, oh, those regular OAers, they don't know what it's like to pick up the phone when somebody calls, like those how people do. And I also had a child and one other factor that led to this inevitable relapse was that I never finished my ninth step amends. I was pregnant at the time, and my sponsor, who worked with me through the steps, said, "You know what? Some of those amends, like you've got a lot of changes going on right now. Maybe you don't need to do all of them." And so I didn't. I did not do all of them. And then I had a child, and I remember somebody telling me as I was celebrating my 1 year of abstinence right before he came that, be careful because that child's going to become your higher power. And I was like, this lady is crazy. Oh, she was right. She was right. And I slowly slipped away from OA. And I actually thought I was never going to come back to OA. I thought I was done. And then 2020, during the pandemic, actually, food treatment was an option for me. And it was all virtual, which really helped because I had a 3-year-old child at the time who's now 6. And I could attend virtually. And what I realized, why I think that OA How program and approach using the tools every day on a daily basis, really leaning in, worked for me is that it gave me a lot of support. Like, I cannot do this alone. I cannot recover alone. I need my sponsor. I need to go to a regular home group where people know my story. I need to work the steps. I need to have regular contact with other fellows. And that got me abstinent. Like, who knew that doing something on Zoom, like we are here, could get me abstinent again and out of a relapse? That was pretty bad. Like, I wasn't even binging anymore. I literally was just kind of like, I liken it to a kid who, like, whatever the kid wants, you just say yes, like all day. Whatever you want to eat, that's fine. No restrictions all day long. And I even thought that there was like some other solutions out there. Like, I was like, I'll try some other solutions, even though the only thing that had worked for me in the past was having a plan, committing it ahead of time, and I weigh and measure my food too. And that was the only thing that had ever brought me some kind of success. So, but I in my head was like, yeah, this other solutions, these apps or this new diet approach, sure, try that out. I'm really grateful that I got back to OA. And the one thing I will say, coming back from relapse, you know, it's always a little bit nerve-wracking, like, oh, people, like, what are they gonna think? You know, when people saw me coming back in the rooms, they were just so warm. You know, I could see them all on the Zoom screen, and some of them had known me from before, and there were some new faces as well. But just like seeing the warmth and the welcoming coming back in the rooms was just so, it was so helpful for me to be like, oh yeah, these people are still here. You know, a lot of them are still here, and there's some people that were not. But just like that, these people are still here and still working this program. It was just really comforting to me. And that I didn't have to be feel ostracized or ashamed of it. It really, I felt very supported when I came back. And so I guess, you know, well, what was different this time? Well, number one, I had a like, I don't know, by this point he's probably four, three, four, around that age when I was coming back in. And I couldn't go back to working the OA HAL program. Like in my head, I had that of like, I can't work that program. There's just no way my abstinence was gonna look like that anymore. It just was felt like it was gonna be too much with a kid. And I'm grateful to say, like, my program doesn't have to look like that. It has evolved, and I do lean into having a home group, like I said, working the steps on a regular basis. Sponsoring is such a huge tool for me too. And I do daily writing, daily gratitude lists, some kind of daily writing in the morning. But I will say what this reading touched upon, like the most important thing for me now really is my connection to God and the quiet time commitment. Somebody told me, like, do I ever take a break from committing my food? Because again, that's what my bottom line is. It just helps me. It just takes that chatter out of my brain. And I was like, oh no. And she's like, well, then why do you take breaks from your quiet time routine? And I was like, oh, man, what do you mean? Like, I just felt so wounded. Like, oh, that just hit the right spot. So what it helped me to recognize is like, I was really putting other people first. I now have two young kids. I've got a 2-year-old and a 6-year-old, and I work from home. I work full time, but I'm grateful to be able to work from home. But I was really letting things kind of slip and slide where like my quiet time, maybe it would happen early in the morning, or maybe I was going to hit that snooze button and I'd do it after I drop the kids off. You know, after the kids get to school and daycare, then I'll come back and do my quiet time. Well, the reality was when that was happening, I was feeling like the urge to get on, logged on to the work computer and not, and start my day there, not really making, because I take up a lot of space. My recovery takes up a lot of space. You know, I've got a very supportive husband who understands that my recovery takes up a lot of space and is supportive most of the time. Sometimes he complains, but I think that I'm in a much better space now than I was when I was in the food for sure. But I really allow myself that space in the morning, and I have a beautiful, I'm just looking at the trees right now in my backyard. Beautiful trees, a nice deck to sit on. I can hear the birds, sometimes the squirrels. Just really make time to have conscious connection with my higher power. And that really is the foundation for my day. And what I am finding is that my intuition gets stronger and stronger the more I tune into it. Really been feeling that lately. And just, I don't know, just that connection time to be able to get connected has been really helpful for me. And the other thing is finishing those amends that we're sitting and lingering, and some new ones too. Had to make some of those to clear that gunk out so that my channel to God can be clearer. So yeah, that quiet time, I don't know. It's not, I guess, for me an option. It's like, just like I commit my food every day, it's like I need to make time to have that meditation prayer time. And like this author said, it doesn't have to look the same every day. That's, I'm very much like a routine, but I guess this idea of being a little bit more flexible and asking God for help with like, what's the right approach to take today? Is it a gratitude list? Is it two-way prayer? Is it reading from this book? Is it, you know, listening to a guided meditation? Like, what does it look like? But I will tell you, it happens every morning. Yeah, and I just will say one story. So I had an amends to make, and that was to my son's dad, who I owed. I changed jobs and was dishonest about it, and we have a tough relationship too. So I recently, this summer, I made amends to him, and I thought he'd never be open to hearing it. But we met, and not only did he like accept it, we are able to move through. We just came up with a new custody arrangement for my son, which we have gone through court every single time that we've had something come up. And this time, just last week, we have an agreement together between the two of us. So God shifts things as I continue to stay open and kind of take care of my part, clear my side of the street. So thank you for listening.